I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. The cover of the July issue of Vanity Fair has made a huge splash a week before it hits the newsstand. It features Caitlyn Jenner posed in a corset with the headline, "Call Me Caitlyn." The glamorous and sexy photos in the magazine were taken by famed photographer Annie Leibovitz. And the 22-page article about Bruce Jenner's painful and liberating transition to Caitlyn Jenner was written by our guest, Buzz Bissinger. He spent more than 100 hours with Jenner and her family, including three wives and their children. Here's what Jenner says in a video from the magazine's website about her psychological transition from male to female.
Bruce always had to tell a lie. He was always living that lie. Every day, he always had a secret from morning till night. Caitlyn doesn't have any secrets.
Buzz Bissinger is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author. He joins us on Radio Times to talk about this profile of Caitlyn Jenner. And Buzz, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm thinking about the response to Diane Sawyer's interview with Bruce Jenner, the response to this article, this cover photo. Is it curiosity? Is it prurience? Is it celebration? What do you think this response tells us?
Well, I think it's all of that. I mean, frankly, when I was assigned the story, I knew it was an interesting story, probably because we're all sort of voyeuristic. There was a prurient feeling to it. It's also Bruce Jenner, the Bruce Jenner I remember, who won the Olympics in 1976. When the Diane Sawyer interview went on, 16.9 million people watched it on a Friday night, and then I knew, whoa, something is happening here beyond just sort of wanting to see, you know, this is weird. This is kinky. Because you know what is weird? And then I realized there's something in the water about this story simply beyond kind of wanting to look at sexy pictures.
You have written a number of articles. You've written books as well. And you say this was really the most remarkable experience for you as a writer, as a journalist.
Well, it was. I mean, I will say at the outset, I screw up pronouns because I know that's very sensitive in the transgender community and I respect that. But I will say he for she and she for he. What was interesting and fascinating for me, I saw Bruce as Bruce. I saw Bruce as Bruce in the final months as she was completing transition. And then I saw Caitlyn literally emerge. And so you're seeing, you know, two different people in a sense, two different images come together finally as one in Caitlyn. And that was both fascinating. It was important because it's important for the transgender community. And it was weird. You know, it was weird. It's hard to get my arms around this story because however PC we want to be, the whole concept of transgender and transitioning into a woman man is still something that I think is difficult for us to comprehend.
Well, it seemed like there was just a couple of days for you between this before and after.
Correct.
You describe Bruce Jenner playing golf by himself, and apparently he's a very good golfer.
Great golfer.
We shouldn't be surprised by that.
No, we shouldn't.
Then he goes to a doctor for facial feminization surgery. It's about
Correct.
A 10-hour procedure.
Correct.
And becomes Caitlyn Jenner.
No, literally. Went in as Bruce on a Sunday morning, March 15th, the day of the Los Angeles Marathon, went to a surgical center in Beverly Hills. He thought, as Bruce, it would take 5 hours. It took 10 hours, very, very extensive. And after that surgery, Bruce was gone, still somewhere within her soul. But Caitlyn was there for all time.
I mean, for you, as you say, we struggle with these pronouns, and I had to make sure that my intro was correct
pronoun-wise.
But nonetheless, this is something that I think we all have to struggle with. But was it really, as you saw Bruce become Caitlyn, was it just like, wow?
Yes. You know, it was wow. First of all, it's hard to get your image of Bruce as Bruce out of your mind because the voice is still very similar. But when I first saw her, and I do want to say this, without makeup, she is a very naturally beautiful woman. He, as Bruce, was a very naturally beautiful man. But the first time I saw her, there's, whoa, I mean, wait a second. You know, what am I seeing? Who am I seeing? And I'm not trying to be dismissive. And there was this also, we all have, oh, God, I don't want to show any discomfort. I don't want to make this at all awkward. Just, you know, stare right ahead. But after a while, you just become comfortable with it. But it takes time, and I became most comfortable with it during Annie's photo shoot.
What I think we all do, either consciously or unconsciously, is that we decide that the person that we're talking to is a man or a woman, and then we kind of orient right. ourselves to who or what we think they are. And we're talking about transgender people. It raises a whole host of other questions about how we relate to people, how we understand them, how we see them.
Well, we do. And the nice thing about Caitlin is that Caitlin understands that. So when I, you know, I called her man at one point. I said, hey, dude, what's happening? And, you know, there were some other people around. They blanched. She said, oh, my God, he's Bissinger stepping into it. Caitlin understands that. And Caitlin says, you know what? I still make the same mistake. You know, I was on the phone with somebody and said, hey, Bruce here. And I said, wait a second, I'm not Bruce. I'm Caitlin. But I think you make a really good point. Is, and it's interesting in terms of society, in terms of culture. Do we address men differently from women? We definitely do. And I must say, when I speak to Caitlin a lot, maybe this sounds weird or not, but it's like talking to the Bruce that I knew. I mean, in the sense that I don't, you know, she's much happier, but we should relate to people as we see them and not relate to people in terms of what we think their gender should be based on, you know, their gender, so to speak, or their identity.
It was interesting. This procedure that she went through, it turned out to be 10 hours.
Right.
Apparently she was in a lot of pain.
A lot of pain.
But she tells you it was a kind of punishment in a way, quote, for the pain of being me.
Yeah, people ask, you know, I've done there's been a big publicity explosion. This actually is one of the few shows that I've done because I have such respect for the show and for you. Of all the quotes, you know, they always ask, what's the ha-ha moment? What's the moment where you sort of get across what's going on? And that quote, actually, the context was in the late 1980s, she did begin to transition. And she had her beard and all hair removed. I've actually had all the hair removed from my body, so I know what that's like. But having a beard removed is unbelievably painful. Normally, you take pain medication to do it. This took 2 years. And, you know, it's extraction follicle by follicle, yeah. And those – it's deep set. And I said, well, at least you took pain medication, so that must have helped. He said, no, I took no pain medication. I felt I deserved the pain because of who I was. Because the other thing – that she made clear is, I don't want to be this way. I'm not comfortable in any world because I'm not really comfortable in a man's world, and I had to lie, and I was never accepted in a woman's world. And he said, if you think that I wake up welcoming this and feeling awkward every day of my life, I wish I was normal. I wish I didn't have this. And that really got to me, and that really got to me in the sense of, you know, I know people think this is a gimmick, this is a game, this is PR. There's absolutely no way. Is there potential financial gain? Yes, because you know what? We're all interested in that. But this is not some come on. She went through agony and hell, as did a lot of people around her, because it's not just her story, for a long, long time.
You mentioned the fact that you've had your hair removed, and I should add that in this piece for Vanity Fair, you say, I've been a cross-dresser with a big fetish for women's leather and an open critic of the often arbitrary delineation between men's and women's clothing. You wrote an article a couple of years ago in GQ about your love of fashion and the half a million dollars I think you were spending
$600,000
on jackets and things like that. But do you identify to some degree with Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah, there's no question. And people say, why were you selected for the story? I mean, I think I was selected for the story. I've been writing for Vanity Fair for 20 years. I've written books. I hope that I've shown my street cred. But the link was sports. Bruce Jenner won the decathlon. I remember that. I love sports. I love writing about sports figures. Written Friday Night Lights. So that was the link. But the other link was exactly that. I have cross-dressed in the past.
Do you still cross-dress?
Yeah, I cross-dress now. I mean, you know, I'm wearing some women's clothing now. I don't, you know, it makes me feel sexy. The term for it is autogenophilia, in which a lot of men, and I think there are more men out there than most men will ever admit. I've never seen a man who's worn women's clothing who doesn't look excited.
Oh, really?
So all you guys out there, you know, put on panties, put on pantyhose, and don't be ashamed. But it took a long time to get over that shame, to get over the fear of your humiliation, until I realized, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be yourself. Now, what she was going through was 100 times, because she not wants to be a woman. She is a woman. She is born a woman and born, in a sense, in the wrong suit of clothing. But at least I know how difficult it is to be different, because I wrote that GQ story and I got crucified. I mean,
oh,
I got mercilessly ridiculed. Shopping addiction, that's insane. Well, I can tell you it wasn't a shopping addiction because it was got completely compulsive. And there was a lot else going on in terms of who am I sexually, what is really my gender. And I hate going into stores where, you know, there's a women's section and a man's section. And if you cross in the women's section, there's always this look, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you buying this stuff? And I hate that because it's all about expression. It's all about creativity. I'm a creativity person, and it stimulates me.
Well, and I wonder, too, you mentioned the word shame, the kind of shame that you have felt about yourself, whether going public as you did. And, right. Of course, in the case of Caitlyn Jenner going public the way she does, is that a way to deal with the shame of, yes. of not sort of fitting into these categories that we have for people?
Well, yes. I mean, I wrote this story, and the story was flawed. I was going through a lot. A lot was going on in my life.
GQ
this
story.
Was the tip of the iceberg. I went into – literally, when the day the story came out, I went into rehab for 60 days because there was a lot going – I had a mental breakdown. But I think part of the reason I wrote that story was to say, listen, I need to get this out because maybe you'll at least stop staring at me or at least know – that this is a part of my soul in terms of being attracted to women's clothing or to whatever. Sometimes when you sort of I can't pronounce the word, but you sort of let things out. Yeah, it's very good.
Okay.
See, this is why you're good. When you expiate your soul, when you try to explain yourself, the hope is people will say, all right, I get it. But, you know, because of the extent of the shopping addiction, I get this. It just hit people by surprise. But it hit people by surprise because it is the same with Caitlin. What makes Caitlin's story so powerful and different is because we all identified her as a massive sports hero. You win the decathlon, you're the greatest athlete in the history of the world. He broke the world record. And that automatically means to people that you are a macho, virile superstar. That's the myth that we have. And for me, to a lesser degree, the myth was, well, Friday Night Lights, high school football, Mr. Sports, and wait a second, cross dresses and likes women's clothing and questions his own gender. That's just spooky, man. You know, that's weird. So there was a lot of identification on that level.
And
I just wish my role had been as good as hers.
Well, that's interesting. One of the things, we're almost up at a break here. One of the things that she says in the article is winning at the Olympics, having a gold medal really meant nothing at that time because she was struggling with, at that point, his identity.
Well, there's a moment in the piece, and I will say this. I hope that people read the piece. Annie's pictures are fantastic, but that is simply one dimension of the Vanity Fair package. It's an 11,000-word story with a lot of nuance. Bruce is not depicted as a hero throughout his life. He was actually anything but a hero, and there's a lot of other people involved simply besides... besides him.
Let's take a very short break, and we'll get back to our conversation with Buzz Bissinger. He's the author of the cover story, Vanity Fair, the July issue. It actually hits the newsstands next week, and it's about Caitlyn Jenner. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. Open up the lines at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. We're talking about the Vanity Fair cover story that comes out in July called Call Me Caitlyn, and it's about the transition of Bruce Jenner to Caitlyn Jenner, and again, written by our guest, Buzz Bissinger. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author. And again, you can call us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. You write, and I think this also came up in the Diane Sawyer interview, is that Bruce Jenner knew it around the age of 10, or at least at around the age of 10, he was wearing his mom's clothing. I mean, that he seemed to have this attraction to women's clothing.
Yeah, it started at the age of 10, and she didn't know what it was. You know, she didn't know the term gender dysphoria, but there was an attraction to women's clothing. Not that it titillated her, but more the sense of, I should be wearing women's clothing. I am a woman. But you're 10 years old. What do you do with that?
And it's also 1959.
Yeah,
or something.
I mean, you know, so you're terrified of discovery. And she would put on the clothing from her mom's closet and walk around the block and then immediately take it off. And sports saved her life. He was also severely dyslexic, so kids, you know, he's stupid, he's lazy. Teachers felt the same thing. And then he has the gender issue going on. In fifth grade, he ran a race in elementary school, was by far the fastest kid in the school, and then realized, not only am I a really good athlete, there's nothing better than athletics to prove masculinity, because that's what I felt I had to do to my family, to my friends, to my peers, because I don't know how to talk about this to anybody. But if I'm an athlete, people say, whoa, he's a macho man. He's a good football player. He's a good basketball player, which he was. He was an exceptional athlete in everything, and that became his cover.
I mean, his cover, but also along with that came all this publicity because he was so good at it.
Yeah, it's the double whammy in a sense that not only is Bruce an exceptional athlete, wins the decathlon in 1976 and becomes a supercharged hero because it's the Cold War. The Soviets have kicked our butt in the Olympics. The Olympics is about nationalism and showing how great a country is. And here comes Bruce Jenner, and he's waving the American flag, and he became our savior. Well, then what are you going to do? Come out the next day and say, by the way, folks, I'm a woman? You know, and I get irritated when people say, why didn't you come out then and you're gutless now? It's ridiculous. You try living your whole life as a lie. You try living your whole life knowing this is not me. You know, go ahead and try it and then be Bruce Jenner, American hero on top of it. And let's see how you do.
He did have three marriages. He married three times.
He did.
The first two wives knew about his interest in women's clothing.
No,
to some degree.
And you know, there's a pattern. And look, the story, Bruce's Bruce has a lot of flaws. Bruce's Bruce did a lot of things where I think he needed to be much more upfront. The first wife he told early in the marriage. The second wife he did not tell at all until they had children. And, you know, one day literally said, by the way, I have gender dysphoria. I identify as a woman. How do you respond to that? She was absolutely floored. She was shocked. She was hurt. Then they go to a therapist, and the therapist says, look, it's not going to change. The condition is not going to change. Now, at that time, she had an attraction to women, so maybe you can fashion a marriage. And with Kris Jenner, who everyone loves to hate, really the same thing. She knew that Bruce's Bruce liked to cross-dress. She had heard rumors, knew about hormones. But there was never that come-to-Jesus conversation where Bruce said, Kris, you have to know this going into any relationship. I identify as a woman. I have gender dysphoria. A therapist has told me that it's never going to change. And he never did that. So her sense of hurt now and confusion and saying, why didn't you tell me that, is totally real. Totally real.
Well, and that's Kris. That's the Kris Kardashian.
Correct.
So we're talking about, just so people know who it is that we are talking about here. And as you describe for him, or as she describes, the 1980s was really a dark time. Alone, essentially, taking hormones, trying to, and I guess having this facial hair removed. And then all of a sudden in the 90s, he marries a Kardashian.
Well, I think what happened is he did attempt transition in the late 80s. And interestingly, that was his best period as a father to his first four children. And as the daughter Cassandra pointed out, you're always better when you are being your more authentic self.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a moment because he was transitioning and it was obvious. He had breast growth. Married Kris Kardashian in 1991. But, you know, at that point, she was known as the ex-wife of Bob Kardashian, the famous OJ lawyer. They did not have any money. They were broke. And for the 90s, they made a very good team in making money. But, you know, he said to me in the story, is Bruce, I had to get back in the game. I had to make a living. I didn't know how to make a living. And I needed some cover. And Kris was cover, because now I'm married and it's going to squelch the rumors. There were a lot of rumors in the late 80s. New York Times called. People were saying, "What? You know, something's going on with this guy." And so it was cover. And I think maybe for Kris, it was also the cover of wanting to stick it to her ex-husband and marry an Olympian. But the 90s were good. Mm-hmm. But once the Kardashian show hit, the dynamics of that marriage changed tremendously.
Well, I can only imagine. But again, you know, the cover being living in a reality show on TV.
Right. Yeah, and as we all know, well, not all know, because the hardest part of the story was having to watch the show, frankly.
It's
just a bizarre show. I actually respect the Kardashians because they hit the zeitgeist, and anyone who hits the zeitgeist I do admire. But he became a doddering fool in that show. He was always kind of being made fun of. He was in the shadows. But it gave him a second dose of huge celebrity because, you know, my kids who were in their 30s, they don't remember the decathlon. I do. Maybe you do. But they remember him as this doddering patriarch of this very bizarre family called the Kardashians.
What I found so interesting, and I think it comes from the Jenner children,
right.
Bert is quoted in the article saying, I have high hopes that Caitlyn is a better person than Bruce. And there was a period when he really was completely estranged from those children. In fact, he forgot birthdays and, you know, all these really important events in a child or even a teenager's life. And it seemed that everybody, I think his mother says the same thing. I'm hoping that Caitlyn is a better person than Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was very hard for those first four kids from his first two marriages. Literally, you know, a little bit after marrying Chris, he just said, that's it. Became completely estranged. And that's scarring. That is scarring today. He became estranged, emotionally distant, careless. Now was a very good husband and father to the Kardashian side, but virtually had no contact as long as 6 years. 6 years, the daughter never, ever heard from her dad. Same with Brody, 4 years. Same with Brandon, 2 years. Same with Bert. And that
why?
Really...
Why? I mean, why did he turn his back on
I think
children?
He, you know, as the story says, he is always about the path of least resistance when he was Bruce. He doesn't like confrontation. And there was weakness. And I think there was, you know, juggling marriages is difficult, as I know. And I think Chris just didn't want to deal with the family anymore. There's a lot of bad blood between the wives. I don't care. You're a dad. You step up. If you have to go to court to see your kids, I've been through it. You do that. And I think I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with the kids right now, maybe later. And I'm going to put all my energies into the Kardashian side. And that's unforgivable.
Well,
it is.
I do want to talk about the cover, but let me just quickly reintroduce you. That's Buzz Bissinger, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. And we are talking about the cover story of the July issue of Vanity Fair. It does feature a photograph by the famous photographer Annie Leibovitz of Caitlyn Jenner. And the article written by our guest, Buzz Bissinger, is about Bruce Jenner's transition into Caitlyn Jenner. And to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. I see folks are tweeting at WHYY Radio Times. And you can send us an email at radiotimes@whyy.org to join our conversation. Let me get Galena to join us from South Philadelphia. And this is the same as a tweet that I see here as well. Galena, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just really have an issue with the way both of you are speaking about Caitlyn. Buzz, I understand you said you spent 100 hours with her, but unfortunately, both you and the host, you're referring to her as he and alternately she, and then going back to saying Bruce and saying, oh, his, when he was a husband and when he did this and he did this. And at this point, you know, you really do need to understand that you are misgendering her.
Yeah, I understand that, but I disagree because it's a real world. And unfortunately, I say Bruce is Bruce. There's no way I'm going to say that she won the decathlon because that is not the case. And I make it very clear, and I may make accidents, but I'm not going to be dictated by what the transgender community wants when I have an obligation to the public at large. It's very, very confusing. And yes, I made a conscious decision. I may slip up. But Bruce as Bruce was a he. There is no way around it. Caitlyn at Caitlyn is a she. So I just don't buy it, and I'm not going to buy it, and I'm not being insensitive.
Well, Galena, let me ask you, if we're talking, when we are talking about someone who is transitioning from a male to a female, if we're talking about Bruce Jenner, and he was Bruce Jenner just a couple of months ago.
Of course.
She was Bruce Jenner, yeah.
No, it was Bruce Jenner, because if it was she, then she would have her medal revoked because she would have been a woman competing as a man. It's not as simple as that. It is not. It is not. I know that GLAAD has a 15-page handbook of how journalists should approach these issues. But, you know, I'm not beholden to GLAAD, and I just think what you're doing is part of the problem.
Well,
Hold on.
Let me give Galena a chance to respond.
Right, okay.
Galena, I'm just curious, as someone who has talked about transgender issues before, you know, what we're supposed to do when someone is transitioning from one gender to another.
I mean, really, you should speak to the person, and based on what pronouns he or she or they choose to use, you would follow that. that's really the most appropriate thing to do.
That's fair enough. And let me go back to you, Buzz. Then if you, in your interviews with Caitlin, how does Caitlin refer to herself when Caitlin was Bruce Jenner?
He. And he makes no bones about that. And he says, yes, it's confusing. And yes, I am now a she. But, you know, in the Diane Sawyer interview, he said, you know, I'm still Bruce. And it's Bruce Jenner. And, you know, as I say, if we can come up with an appropriate pronoun, that's great. But I don't think they does it. I don't think Zay does it. And it's confusing for people simply in figuring out if you say she won the decathlon, I don't think it's correct, and it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right, and I'm very, very sensitive to the use of pronouns, but it just isn't as simple as you're making out to be. And the problem is we need to demystify. If you make people nervous about what pronoun they use, they're going to be nervous around a transgender woman. They're going to be scared to interact normally.
Galena, I do appreciate the call to Radio Times. I mean, it's a big point, and it's also, you know, a tricky point, and
of course,
also sort of
I understand
a little point, because we use pronouns so willy-nilly, if you know what I mean.
We do, and maybe one day there will be a pronoun, and I don't know what it is. I hope there is. I mean, you're talking to someone who's very gender fluid, and I hope there is. I think that delineation of he and she is kind of silly. It's almost arbitrary, and we're always going to have, you know, the he identity and the she identity. And, you know, as I say, I'm tired of going into department stores and, you know, walking over to the women's section because I may want to buy panties. And, you know, I'm looked at like I'm insane. But we haven't gotten to that point. We need to demystify it. So if we're arguing about pronouns, it makes it worse. And Caitlin, who really counts, says, I don't care. I don't care for now. And I understand because she said, Bruce won the Olympics. Bruce won the Olympics. Caitlin did not.
Let's talk about the photos. I mean, there are photos in the article, yes. But certainly yes. The cover photo that's gotten so much attention. Caitlyn Jenner in a beautiful corset. Her hair looks absolutely lovely. And I'm curious about, do you know why she picked the name Caitlyn?
Yeah, I mean, everyone thinks it's some silent conspiracy because, you know, Caitlyn, if you spell it with a K, then you're with the KKKs of Kim, Chloe, Courtney, Chris.
I didn't even know.
Kylie
that.
And Kendall. Caitlin made out a list of names she thought would be appropriate. A very dear friend of hers made out a list, and both Caitlin was on both lists.
Oh, interesting. When you look at that, and I mean, this is a 65-year-old woman. I'm a 66-year-old woman. I mean, I would love to look the way that Caitlyn Jenner looks on the cover of Vanity Fair, but I know that this is a glamorous shoot. It's Annie Leibovitz. They had makeup people. I mean, you know, people can look this way. And has a kind of retro, almost Playboy,
yes. Vargas girl.
Bunny look to
yes.
it. What is Caitlin saying from that photo, do you think?
I've spoken to Caitlin. She's over the moon with the photos because this is just Caitlin. This is not every woman, man, or whatever. Caitlin wants to look beautiful. It's very, very important to her. There was a case several years ago of a Los Angeles Times sports writer, I forget the first name, Mike Penner, who transitioned and did it very, very quickly without following the standards of care, which really say you must do it over a period of years. And there was an article done and there was a photo shoot done. Her name at that point was Christine Daniel, and I'm making the delineation because she actually transitioned back and then killed herself.
Oh, dear.
The photo shoot was incredibly scarring because when she looked at the pictures, she said, my God, am I really that ugly?
Oh, really?
Yes. The story never ran. Vanity Fair pulled it. They didn't want to hurt her anymore. But the problem was that she was terrified because then she felt like a freak. So if the flip side was you have a picture of Caitlyn Jenner looking like whatever – not that attractive. Her humiliation, I think, would be great. The humiliation, the tittering would be off the charts. And beauty is important to her. And beautiful women are beautiful. Does that mean every woman should aspire to that? You know, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But she's like a teenage girl now. She loves makeup. She loves talking about hair. That will dissipate. That will dissipate. But yes, it's like I've waited 65 years and now I'm going to exploding and I'm going to go for it. And you got to remember, she lived in the Kardashian household. There are no more four women involved, six women involved who care about style more.
Well, and I was looking at the promo to this reality show called, I think it's called Call Me Kate.
Call Me Kate.
Call Me Kate.
Call Me Ishmael.
Well, anyway, and what she says in the promo is, you know, it's really hard being a woman because everyone's focused on your appearance. And at the same time, she's very girly girly.
Yes.
You talked about sort of the fluidity of genders and, and appearance. She has chosen a very, very sexy female look for herself.
Very. And there's no question that. And I would like to say, I even talked to her about be careful with the pictures. Don't do anything you don't want to do. You have the final say. But I also know that she is very easily led by others. But her PR person was there. He's tough as nails. He could have said, Annie, we're not going there. I know the kids were terrified. And I will say that the sons, it was really, really hard. Those pictures. And I understand that because, as Bert said, it would be hard enough seeing your mother at 65 pose in a corset like that. But imagine your dad. And I think we should imagine that because it's very, very complex. And it's not just the story tries to emphasize. It's not just about Caitlin. You know, when Caitlin had her surgery and augmented breasts, the first thing she did was pull up her shirt to show her son.
And well, he said, no, Dad.
No, Dad, whoa, hold it. I'm your son. Now, that's the personality. A little bit goofy, almost innocent, almost unaware. And unfeeling is the wrong word, but not really sort of considering the thoughts of others.
Let's take a very short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. Buzz Bissinger is our guest. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author, also the author of the cover story of the July issue of Vanity Fair about Caitlyn Jenner. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscone, again talking with Buzz Bissinger about his cover story in the July issue of Vanity Fair. It features a photo of Caitlyn Jenner, and it's also a story about how Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner. She had facial surgery, and it includes some glamorous photos, I have to say, taken by photographer Annie Leibovitz. I do want to get back to our callers, but one thing which I thought was really interesting and it might surprise people is she hasn't had genital surgery. And
no.
In fact, doctors, I guess, and experts say that might be the last thing you want to think about doing.
Yes. I mean, for now, the standards of care, which are like 70 pages and a consensus of experts in the field of transgender issues and also medical doctors, say you must wait a year. You must live a year in your new gender to make sure you are comfortable with this, because that's a very, very big step. Caitlin says she doesn't know. She's not thinking about it. She's not thinking about sexual orientation. And the best thing she said, frankly, was if I have it, no one's going to know, because it's going to be done in private. And I think that's good. She has some right to some semblance of privacy, although, yes, she does like going public.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, she talks about, you know, that now I want to be, you know, obviously who I am.
Right.
And I want to live a normal life. I mean, there's nothing normal about how she's living her life. And I wonder, you know, when the reality show is over and the cameras are away and she has this chance to live a normal life. I don't know if that will ever happen. How is she going to feel? I mean,
well,
how much of this is because she does love the attention?
I think that's a great question. And she does love the attention. And the story suggests what will happen down the road. You know, when the drumbeats die down, when the excitement dies down, when the attention dies down, there's always a letdown. And my fear is, because she is different as Caitlin, nicer, kinder, much more connected to life and to people, will she once again become very isolated and alone and now in a new gender? I don't know how else to say it. Because maybe it should be Caitlin as Bruce. And I thank you for the call on that. was very alone. Was very. It was depressing to be with Caitlin as Bruce. I mean, there was no life there. There was no excitement. I, you know, walked the golf course, and he plays alone. She played alone. She wasn't comfortable with other people. You know, we had lunch in the clubhouse, and it was kind of dark and very oak, like a lot of. And it was sad. It was sad, and the fear is, what's going to happen? You know, because look, we got a great 36-hour cycle out of this in terms of attention, but you know what? It's gone. It's gone. I'm thinking about other things. It was very exciting, and you know, your name all over the world, but it's gone. She'll have a little bit longer shelf life, but if that series does not work, which is really her livelihood, I'm scared. I worry.
You worry?
I do. Legitimately, I do.
I do want to get back to our callers, and we also have some more comments as well, but one thing that really struck me was I felt like the Jenner children, they're now all adults.
Yes, they are.
Seem very grounded.
Unbelievably grounded.
And they also, they're not, they don't like this reality show.
No, not at all. And I have to say the Jenner kids are as different from the Kardashians as the sun and the moon and night and day. Unbelievably. Very grounded, very real. And they desperately, both their father, E., the production company was desperate to have them participate because there's a feeling that a family dynamic. Well, it's called a docuseries. It's not a docuseries. It's a reality television series, and there's a model. You get a family together. You get a group of people together. You throw in a stick of dynamite and see how everyone reacts. And the kids, despite that pressure and despite wanting to reconnect to their father, all four of them decided we are not going to do this.
Yeah, interesting. Let me get to looks like Mary from Pottstown to join our conversation. Hi, Mary. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I just had a comment that you guys were actually just kind of speaking to about Caitlin's body. And I think there are two separate issues going on that are drawing a lot of insensitivity to this transition. There's gender identity and there's sexuality. And I think it was probably a big conflict for Bruce as a man to say, I genuinely love these women, but I identify as a woman. Why can't I just be happy in my own body? And I think we're missing that when we look at the hurt of Kris Kardashian. We're missing the, I believe Bruce genuinely loved you, and I believe that Caitlin probably still does love you, but was struggling with how to make her identity work with the sexuality of maintaining a marriage as a man and a woman.
No, it's.
I think it's a good.
I think
it's a very good point. The one thing I will say is that the transgender community has said this, and it's been borne out. It's very true. Your gender identity is totally separate from your sexual orientation. You know, people say, "Well, now she's a woman. Well, she'll date men." That's absolutely not true. I should also point out that I think some people think like there's a transgender licensing board. You have to have certain things done. That is absolutely not true. But I love your point. Caitlin does still love Kris, has talked to me a lot about that. They don't really talk that much anymore, and she misses that. There was a lot of love in that marriage, and then the last 5 years, there was a lot of, you know, his gender, her gender dysphoria, and Kris became a mogul. And the, you know, she was totally into building that empire. But what was interesting, she said that the breakdown of the marriage, and this was interesting to me, was 80% the way she was treated and only 20% gender issues,
yeah.
Which does suggest that if it had been not flipped, if there had been better treatment or what she perceived as better treatment, she might have stayed in that marriage.
Mary, I appreciate the call to Radio
Yes,
Times.
Yes, thank you.
A Facebook comment from Jane says, wealth and privilege is an angle that needs to be addressed. And I mean,
no question.
Absolutely.
And Caitlin has talked about that. Caitlin is aware. Look, you know, in terms of being representative of a typical, and I don't like the word typical, I don't know what else to use, representative of a transgender woman or man, absolutely not. It should be pointed out, the vast majority of transgenders make much less than the average so-called human being in America. There is discrimination. It is difficult to get jobs. There's a lot of unemployment. There is an attempted suicide rate of 40%. There are not – Caitlyn Jenner has had everything done to her body humanly possible. Many transgender women might like that, but they don't have the resources. So one thing I feel she is obligated to do is to make us aware – of so many transgenders who don't have those opportunities. Because trust me, I know this, for those transgender men and women, the vast majority of the 700,000, it is really, really hard to live in your environment.
Oh, we have a tweet from Nan who says, I think Caitlin coming out as a Republican is more interesting than her transition. She is a Republican?
She's an arch Republican. I mean, she's to the right of Attila the Hun. That was so bizarre. I couldn't get into that. I didn't even mention this story. I mean, but you know, it's sort of cool. I mean, because why can't a Republican be? It's, you know, let a Republican be a transgender man and woman. It's certainly good for the Republican Party, but I can guarantee you, the Republicans are way too gutless. You know, Boehner should meet with her, and a lot of the Republican majority should meet with her, but they won't because they're too scared that, oh my God, my constituency will go nuts. But I think it's great. You know, we stereotype so much. You know what? A Republican can be a transgender woman, and so can a Democrat, and so can an independent. And that's what's great about our society.
Weren't you for Mitt Romney over Barack Obama?
I was, and I wish you had not brought that up. I was going through a mental breakdown at the time and did things.
Is that what you ascribe it to?
You know, honestly, what I would ascribe it to, I would ascribe it to that Obama's first debate was awful, and it bothered me because it's like, I don't really need to show up. And then I think part of it was, you know, talk radio, and it's a conservative station. But I was really, really pissed off at Obama. Having said that, I think Obama, this is another one, I think Obama in the last 2 years has been a great president because he doesn't care anymore and has really, really been bold, including tweeting about this.
And he did tweet about
this. He did. And, you know, a lot of people say, what are you tweeting? What? And, you know, because he's blamed for everything. So I'm sure he's probably being blamed for the pictures, the story, and the transition. But I think he's been an incredible president the last 2 years.
Let me get Diane from Center City, Philadelphia, to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Diane. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment about the he-she issue. I
sure.
have a very dear friend who transed many years ago. And whenever she refers to her past, she always refers to herself as when I was a man. And, you know, but she... I just wanted to make that comment
sure.
when the other caller called in earlier and, you know, was kind of blasting you for the terminology you were using, referring to Bruce. But that's what my friend does. She always just says, when I was a man, and blah, blah, blah.
And blah, blah, blah. No, Diana, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the original call as well, because I think it does raise some really interesting questions.
I understand. I mean, I was reacting as a journalist. All I want, the first caller and this caller, I sweated this out throughout the story. It wasn't like, well, you know, Bruce won the Olympics. I sweated it out, but I had to do a service to readers simply not to cause confusion and that people would just say, I don't really get this. And Bruce does refer to her past as a man, mm-hmm. and it sounds like this caller's friend does as well. So she's not insulted by it. And I really have no interest in insulting the transgender community. And actually, the nicest email I've gotten was from Mark Siegel of the Philadelphia Gay News.
Oh, wow.
He said, I followed the way the mainstream media has covered this for years, and your story really showed a remarkable sensitivity and understanding. And that was really, really meaningful to me.
What does Caitlin Jenner, what does she think about this article?
She has just finished it.
Some of the, you know,
yeah,
the
I actually don't know. I mean, we've been missing, you know, I call her. She calls me. She just finished it. I think I'm sure parts of it were, you know, were hard. I think, you know, she is a much more sensitive human being. And I think, you know, when Bert Jenner said it's really hard to idolize a father who's won the Olympics, and I kind of wish that she hadn't won the Olympics. And when Bert Jenner says, you know, frankly, I'm really glad I didn't have Caitlin as a dad or my dad as a dad because I was taught a lot of other things about social grace by my stepfather. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy to read because Caitlin is much more sensitive and she is really trying to patch up that relationship.
Let me get, looks like Monica from Manayunk to join our conversation. Hi, Monica. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi
there.
I just wanted to make a comment about just the fact that this conversation is so important to have, and I'm just really happy that it's, you know, going on. I have a friend who's trans and I have also foreign friends who live outside of the country, and they don't understand, you know, and they ask me how it all works. And it's just, I think it's important to bring this topic to light and to really have people understand that, you know, this exists and we should accept and love and, you know, totally give people a platform to be themselves.
Well, Monica, I appreciate
thank you. The call
to Radio Times.
I appreciate that because I think you're right, and I give Caitlyn Jenner, whatever we think of her or don't think of her, she has started the national conversation. Now, the problem with national conversations, the way the culture works, national conversations often last for about 4 minutes. Mm. But I do think
– or they devolve.
Or they devolve. But I actually think at the very least, people who are very, very antagonistic to transgender men and women are going to hold their tongue. Because they know there are now a lot of people out there that if you bully or you threaten, they're going to say, cut it out. Let people live the lives they want to live. And I think that will be an enduring legacy. And look, Caitlyn has the possibility of going down in history as the most socially influential athlete, I don't know, maybe since Muhammad Ali. Hmm. It's that important. And that's why the kids, they forewent money and exposure to say, Dad, you can have an incredible legacy. Don't screw it up with a reality show. We understand. We all want to make money. You'll make money other ways through appearances. Please, please don't screw it up. And that's on Caitlyn's, you know, which way you're going to go. But let's face it, hard way to go. The choice is a hard way to go.
Indeed. Let me get Frank from Center City, Philadelphia to join us. Hi, Frank. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. Hi.
Hi there.
Marty, I think a lot of this furor over transgender, male or female, the categories, has to do with the dynamic of sensitivity, and that we put in categories a woman being more sensitive to a man and being more aware of aesthetics, beauty, feelings, whereas men have to hold back on their feelings, be stronger, macho. And I think a lot of this is really about that chasm.
Well, that's interesting.
That.
Yeah, Frank, let me give Buzz Bissinger your head, Buzz.
I think that's a fantastic point. I think men are actually kind of dumb, to tell you the truth, in terms of how we relate to people. We're very, very basic. You know, we like to eat. We sort of have to have sex in a very boring, fundamental way. And we're not in touch with feelings. I would love a society in which there's no divide about that, because I do feel, I think women are much more interesting, like talking about feelings. They don't talk about sports all the time. They have a common language that's frankly much more interesting. And when I say Caitlyn is more sensitive, but I'm not saying in the sense of now that she's a woman, she's more sensitive. It would be great to see a society, and I think it will happen because younger generations are much more tuned. Crossover. What is gender? We're always going to have male macho. We're always going to have, you know, female femme fatale, so to speak, and female beauty. But why should I be condemned, which I was, because I like wearing high heel boots? Why should I? And I remember going into places, and I remember I went into a candy store, and my wife says, "So what? So what? It makes you feel alive." And I remember going in, a little girl was there, and said, "You know, mommy, that guy's wearing woman's boots." Well, I it was embarrassing. And I'm good at sloughing it off, and I just wear them because that's me. That's part of how I express myself. And I would love to see that end, and people say it's a big world. And creativity and expression comes in all sorts of different ways and should never be a threat to anybody.
I mean, it looks like it is slowly happening.
But I think it will happen.
Buzz Bissinger, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times. You're very welcome. And again, he's the author of the Vanity Fair cover story, the July issue. It features a long interview with Caitlyn Jenner, her members of her family, and the headline says, "Call me Caitlyn." Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. You can find out much more about this program, including how to download a podcast of the show, how to find us on Facebook, and also how to follow us on Twitter and how to listen to us on satellite radio. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. Do stay with us. We'll be right back.